A few years ago, one of the kids in my online coaching program said to me, "Coach Rebecca, I wish we could just go to a gym and have you as our coach. We would all be so happy and so confident." And that warmed my heart, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, that would be the best." And that comment stuck with me for years. So now I'm going to do something about it. I am inviting gymnasts from all over the country to join me for the first ever Confident Gymnast Camp this August 3rd and 4th. This camp is all about breaking through mental blocks. So if you're struggling with a skill and you want me and my team to help you break through in real time, then check out confidentgymnast.com for details. Hi guys, on today's podcast, I'm talking about motivation, but I'm not just talking about how to get yourself motivated. This is about the athlete who's a little bit confusing to the parent because they're saying they love their sport, but you're watching them at practice or you're watching them in competition and it looks like their fire is missing. So they're telling you one thing, but they're showing you another. There are four main reasons why somebody might start losing their fire in their sport. And these reasons are counterintuitive. These are not things that you would automatically assume are preventing your athlete from really feeling excited about their sport. So I'm going to go through those four main reasons that cause athletes to look like they're not motivated, what's really going on. And I think the most important part of this conversation is the mistakes parents make that actually help cause those issues. All right, let's do it. Welcome to the Perform Happy Podcast, where athletes and their support squad come to learn the secret weapon for sports success. I'm your host, Rebecca Smith. First, I was a scaredy cat gymnast, then a coach. Now I'm a sports psychology expert and a parent. Athletes, whether you're feeling stuck or you're having the best season of your life, I'm here to help you reach peak performance and maximum enjoyment. Hey guys, it's me, Coach Rebecca, and Fern, my little fluffy doggy right here. You can say hi to her if you are watching on the video. If you are not watching on the video, you cannot say hi to Fern, but just know she's there. So if you hear any strange doggy sounds in the background, it's because my little old lady buddy is hanging out with me today in my office. So I get a lot of questions from parents in the Perform Happy community about motivation. I think every single month when we do our live Q&A with parents, somebody asks a question about motivation. They say things like, "It's so hard to watch my athlete standing around like she doesn't even care." Or, "I don't know what's wrong. She used to love it, but now she doesn't seem like she wants to go." Or when we're there, I'm like, "Why are you here if you're not working hard? Where's your motivation?" So we've talked a couple of times through those trainings in depth, but I wanted to bring you guys at least the top four reasons why this happens. Now, there's one thing where if an athlete has fallen out of love with their sport, this is going to naturally happen. But what I'm talking about is those athletes who you ask them, "Do you still want to do this? Are you still having fun?" And they're like, "Yes, I love it. No, I don't want to quit." And then they get mad at you for even bringing it up. But you're like, if you love it so much, then why are you sulking around? And why are you not applying yourself? It's so frustrating. So these four reasons I'm going to give you, these are for the athlete who they look like they've lost their motivation, but they're telling you they still love their sport. These are some of the reasons why. Number one, the number one reason is fear. Fear manifests in avoidance. When your brain has gone into fight or flight, so there's a threat in your environment. There's something I could talk for hours and hours on all the potential threats in a young athlete's environment beyond even the physical nature of their sport. But let's say that they're experiencing a fear of embarrassment, fear of failure, fear of not being perfect, fear of not being liked, fear of injury, fear of you name it, then what happens on the brain level is their brain goes, "Get out of here, run, get away." So if there's a specific skill or a specific person or a specific encounter that sends them into that fight or flight, then they're going to have this natural reaction that goes, "Avoid, you don't want to do that skill. Maybe you should ask about trying this skill. Maybe we can go to this other event. Maybe you have to go to the bathroom. Maybe your elbow hurts. Maybe you're really feeling sick right now." Your brain will throw out all the stops to be like, "Get out of there, avoid. So you're looking at your kid and you're like, "Why has she been standing on the beam for 5 minutes fixing her hair?" It's not because she doesn't care. Usually she cares so much, which is why she's even
still out there and not hiding in the bathroom, but she's in a state of avoidance. That's the number one reason that people think their kid is not motivated, but they actually really are. They're just in this place that's, they're stuck and it looks like they don't care. It looks like they're not trying, which can be extremely frustrating for parents and coaches. But let me tell you, it's probably fear if they're telling you that they want to do it and they're showing you something different. Okay, then there's this next one. The next reason why an athlete's motivation might look like it's waning, or maybe it really is, because of what I call competing commitments. This is something that keeps athletes stuck in mental blocks longer than they need to be. And this can be, so you've got this one commitment on one side that is, I want to get my skills. I want to progress in my sport. I want to be great. I want to rise to my potential. I want to impress my coaches. I want to impress my family. I want to impress my team. So that's the one commitment. The competing commitment is, but I want to have a social life and I want to go to that birthday party and I want to do that after school activity. So then they start to go, well, I want them both. So then both of them become a struggle. Another example of a competing commitment can be the desire to look good. In order to get better, you have to be bad at something first, right? You have to try new things and you have to be imperfect. So for an athlete who has come to a certain level where they're used to being really good, they're going to have to look bad for a little while they're trying on these new skills or they're playing these harder opponents or things are getting harder. Or they're having to backtrack because they have to build a stronger foundation for bigger, more challenging parts of their sport. If they are trying to look good, that's going to prevent them from doing what they need to do to get better. Okay, another competing commitment is that they don't want to get out of their comfort zone. These athletes are out of their comfort zone so much every single day, just like from ripped hands to bloody feet to, you name it. They're so uncomfortable because they're working so hard. But I'm talking about the emotional comfort zone. And that's that, like having to stretch beyond what's already easy for you. Again, into that, like, this is hard. Can I really do this? That's where that mental toughness comes in. If they don't have that, then it's easy to get stuck in their comfort zone. So then they're like, I want to get better. I don't want to be uncomfortable. I'm already physically uncomfortable enough. I don't want to get mentally uncomfortable too. Another competing commitment is trust. So if they've had their trust severed or damaged by any kind of negative coaching, any parents, I'll talk to you at the end about what role you play in each of these things. But if there's been anything that's hurt trust, it can happen with bullies or teammates, then they have this commitment to getting better. They also have this commitment to not trusting because they've determined that it's not safe to trust, but they're going to have to trust their coach, their team, and themselves in order to truly transcend and become better at their sport. They have to. Okay, number three reason why athletes don't look motivated, even though they say they love their sport, is because they're lacking internal motivation. So what can happen, especially with a really talented athlete who's used to winning, who's used to getting a lot of compliments and praise, is that they started their sport because they loved it. Then they got all these prizes, cash and prizes and, accolades and high fives and banners and medals and trophies. And then they're like, oh, I do the sport for the trophies. Then they might have a bad season or they might have a setback and they don't get the trophy and they didn't get the banner and they're not getting the high fives and they're not the best kid on the team because they moved up to a harder team. For whatever reason, those external motivation factors that they had started thinking that they were performing for, those have gone away. So that love for their sport is sort of like a distant thing that they used to have back when sport was easy and fun when they were 7. Now they're 14 and they're like, ooh, if I'm not getting the prizes, then what's the point? Okay, so that's what happens when you do a lot of external motivating. You start to lose the internal motivation that is the key to staying with something when it gets hard and for the long term. The fourth reason that's so important that I could talk for hours and hours, but I won't, is fixed mindset. So this is it's a big catchphrase in schools, which I love, but fixed mindset is this all or nothing thinking. So these kids who have a fixed mindset come in and they're like, I am this amount good at my sport. I am this amount smart. I am this amount funny. And they believe that they've got this hand they were dealt when they were born that says, this is what you're good at. This is what you're bad at. Go make the best of it, kid. So then they're like, ooh, I got lucky and I'm really talented at my sport. Everybody tells me how talented I am. Or, oh, I'm so smart. Everyone's always telling me I'm so smart. But then what happens is if they have a rough patch, then all of a sudden they're like, oh, I am not talented. Does this mean that I was only talented enough up to that point and now my talent is running out or gone? Or maybe they were wrong about me. Maybe I'm not as talented as they thought I was. Because ultimately they have this feeling that everything I have is fixed and it can't be changed. Whereas a growth mindset, which is what I teach in Perform Happy, is completely different. It's all about that you start where you are, you can improve from there with effort. And if you've got a lot of praise coming your way about like, you're born to do this, that actually can really backfire and create this fixed mindset so that then they feel like, I'm not good enough. I'm an imposter. It's all or nothing. Improvement doesn't matter if I can't reach the goal. Okay. So those are the four reasons why kids get that sort of slump, even though they're saying, but I love my sport. That's why it can be so frustrating. So here's what the parents do. So if parents, this is for you. If you feel like, yeah, that's my kid, here are the things that you might be doing that might be actually adding to that. If you have ever created a threat, like an external motivator that's like, if you don't do your vault by this weekend, then we're not competing, or I'm pulling you from the meet, or if you don't pull it together, then I'm going to not do this. What that does is, you know, back to that fear, that actually creates more fear that they're going to let you down. They're going to lose something that they want. They're not going to get something that they really, really care about. So when you're trying to motivate them, all that you're really doing is creating more fear that puts their brain more into that fight or flight and makes them want to get the heck out of there and totally give up. Okay. If they're trying to please you, that's a competing commitment, because sometimes they have to do something that you don't understand in order to make progress. This happens all the time when athletes, you know, especially when I work with a kid who is dealing with a mental block, they are like, they have to back it up. They have to do something that looks kind of unproductive in order to get productive. So if a parent is like, you need to stop doing that. Like, what are you doing? You're wasting my time. You don't look motivated. You're not trying. Even a very well-meaning parent might have that very conversation with the athlete. And the athlete's like, okay, on one side, I really want to be successful. On the other side, I want to make my mom happy, but I can't do both at the same time. Okay. So then the next is you trying to motivate your athlete by offering them ice cream if they score a goal, by giving them an iPad if they get their skill, by, you know, whatever it is that you're doing that you're like, I'm so excited. I can't wait for you to get it. Here's a little prize just to sweeten the deal, make it even more exciting for you. What happens is that then their focus is on the external motivation. And then when there's no iPad on the line, they get like, oh, well, what's the point? When really all along, the whole point has been, you love it. You're good at it. It feels good to get better at something, but they're really being trained to work for the prize. The last thing that parents, if you're doing this, cut it out. I know this is going to be a very tough one for some of you. Stop praising talent. Stop praising intelligence. Instead, like we talk about in Perform Happy with the parents all the time, we praise attitude and effort. And that is it. Attitude and effort, because those are the things in a growth mindset that allow you to make progress from where you are, to enjoy the journey, which then stokes that internal motivation. And then everything else is just bonus, you know, if you're loving your sport. So that's it for today. So those of you who are like, my athlete's not motivated, well, check through this little mental checklist first before you go to them and say like, come on, get motivated. There are things that can get you motivated if you're not, but for the most part, these are the four things, the sneaky things that will keep you stuck if you're not looking out for them. So thanks for hanging out with me today, and I will see you again soon. Bye. Thank you so much for joining me for this week's episode of the Perform Happy Podcast. If you're ready to unlock your maximum sport potential, head over to performhappy.com and join us. You'll be training alongside world champion athletes and Olympic hopefuls. And I will personally take you through my research-based system for overcoming fear and mental blocks, building confidence, and finding your flow. I'm Coach Rebecca Smith, and I'll see you next time.